This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, Nadpoles. Caldwell here to talk to you about Hero Forge, the best place to get fully customizable tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from. I actually just built a version of my Underdark Gnome Illusion Wizard, Kraslo, for use in a home game my friend has been running, and it was incredibly fun getting to scroll through all the options and details to bring this mage-handed menace to life. Their easy-to-use design tools let you build your perfect miniature online using a fully 3D, in-depth character creator right in your browser. Oh, and before you ask, yes, Hero Forge has goggles, and yes, Kraslo is wearing them. So if you've been thinking about splurging on a miniature for your D&D campaign, wait no longer, because May 2nd to May 9th, Hero Forge is having a spring sale. You can get 10% off all physical miniatures and free shipping, including international shipping on all orders. The figures are tiny, but the savings are huge. To take advantage of this great offer, visit HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature today, and check back often because new content is added every week. Ooh, good to know. Kraslo just got a hat of vermin in the campaign, and I really want to find an annoying top hat for him to wear to represent that. In the meantime, that's it for me. Thanks for listening, and happy forging.
Dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court. I am your Supreme Crit Justice Murphy, joined by Supreme Crit Justices Axford and Tanner.
Hello.
Along with the lowly bailiff. Lowly.
I think you got to do it kind of like the Tiki Room song. You'd be like, it's the lowly bailiff Jake.
It's the lowly bailiff Jake.
And then, of course,
don't want the theme song.
New Supreme Crit Justice, our guest, Allie Beardsley. Welcome.
Good tidings. Good tidings.
Very
to you.
Professional.
That's what judges talk about. Right?
Judge
Beardsley. Yeah, they talk about tidings a lot when they sentence people.
Yeah, like a Christmas carol. Good tidings to you and your kin.
Good tidings to you and your 9 years incarcerated.
Oh, no.
Do you like the wreaths that we put up?
I love them.
Yeah, yes. They're festive. We keep them up year-round.
The laurels. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We're going to need you to go ahead and swear in to officially make you part of the Supreme Crit.
Yeah. That's correct.
Bailiff, yes. I forget. Do you need to do anything for this going into it?
Yeah, I'll be administering the oath.
Okay,
so,
I'll throw to you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Allie?
Yes.
Your name. I don't usually do anything, but he called me lowly so many times. I'm trying to step up. But yes, we'll need you to swear in to ascend the bench. Okay. I believe you have the oath before
I
you.
I do. Yes. And my hand is, I am assuming, being placed on a Bible.
Well, something you believe.
On a D20.
Right. In fact, what would you like to put it on?
Oh, wow. Yeah, on a D20 for sure. Okay. With the 20
Which
up.
Number? 20 up. Okay.
Yeah, it should 20. Be 20 up.
That's a play.
No, 14. It should be on a 14.
Yeah, get this on a 14.
Well, 14 makes the court a little more
easy. Yeah, it's like an upper middling number.
14.
Yeah. It's only 6.
Okay.
All right. Allie, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the players, as well as the DMs, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation of my own volition, and that I will well and faithfully embark upon this noble pursuit of justice. So help me, gods.
And
here he
Welcome, Judge Beardsley.
So official. Oh my God.
And with that, hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, Tanner, and Beardsley presiding.
Mm. Thank you.
Now, you'll see that there is a gavel placed in front of you. Feel free to bang it.
This is beautiful.
Without caution. Mm. There you go.
There you
wow,
go.
Just one kind of tepid knock.
I would say that was with caution.
I think
good.
That I
this
think
justice
that,
practices restraint.
Yeah, and that shows that you're. I feel like a judge who like really slams on your
power trip ego.
Power trip. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, okay.
This is good.
You're measured.
You're, it's a yes. firm hand, but it's fair.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You're right down the middle. Are reined in.
The good tidings, justice.
That one was good.
That one had a little room because I was worried about
the power's actually going to your head really quickly.
All right, everybody, let's read the case. Let's read the case.
Okay, Liam M. writes in to us, and Liam says, "May it please the court and provide a sure sticker for the bailiff to fiddle around with. I present the case of the neutral paladin versus the comedy steed. I play a no-nonsense paladin of neutral alignment. My problem is that whenever I cast the signature paladin spell, Fine Steed, my DM always gives me a goofy giant animal instead of a more traditional thematic companion. Thus far, the steeds that I've summoned have arrived as a giant snail, a Saint Bernard with a New York accent, a moose with a pun name, and most recently, a dwarf driving a pedal car similar to Fred Flintstone."
Okay, I have to say right off the bat, I am loving your energy because so few people are willing to occupy this space. Like, you are being a straight man right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing the straight man to your DM, and
Also, I feel like people usually, if you're going to play a paladin or something, you'll be like, no nonsense, you're good. Mm-hmm. But you just be like, I want to be neutral.
Yeah.
But also, no nonsense.
I just want a steed.
I would like a horse, please.
They continue, "Despite only wanting a horse, I always played into it for the sake of the game."
Yeah,
there you go.
I've asked my DM out of character why my steeds are always so silly and if I could ever get a more traditional one. He responded that since my character was aligned to a deity that it is neither good nor evil, the steed that showed up would be of neutral alignment, since the options for steeds in the spell are either celestials, fiends, or fey. I was stuck with the whimsical beasts of the fey wild.
Okay, I don't buy that.
Red Flintstone's read out a player's handbook.
Hey, where to, pal?
Yeah.
I asked the court, should I have pressed harder for a regular horse, or am I resigned to a campaign where my signature spell is a punchline?
First, right off the bat, I kind of think that I don't like the reasoning for it, but I feel like you might be very funny, and your interactions and not wanting to have these steeds could be very funny and making the group laugh, and it's possible that's why this is happening.
Yes.
Right. Like, this sounds like a classic odd couple setup.
Yeah.
Like, right. It's giving me enjoyment.
You want a horse?
You're being an
absolute Fred Flintstone
Felix right now. For anyone who remembers, of course, the original odd couple.
Yeah.
How old are you, Brian?
I'm 57 years old. I watched that show when I was 21.
I watched that in previews in the 1950s.
I
would
have said Bert and Ernie, man. My God.
What year The Odd Couple would have come out. Yeah. I don't know. There's a 60-year-old fan in their car just punching the wheel.
It came out in 87. It's not that
way
old.
Yeah. That.
We look on TikTok and there's a lot of Odd Couple fan cams for some reason. It's back in a big way.
Yeah. Yeah. Odd Couple was so popular that now no one remembers the original Odd Couple.
Right. You
know, I have no clue what they are. I thought they were just a trope.
So the trope is based on the Odd Couple.
Oh yeah, the Fairly Odd Parents is what I was thinking of, right. And then I was like, "Am I going to sound so stupid?"
Which one came first?
Which did come
first?
The Odd Couple.
Yeah, I think so too.
Felix is of course very put together. Whereas the slovenly Oscar.
You're thinking of Dharma and Greg.
Dharma and Greg are an odd couple. It's true.
Dharma and Greg
would be the
Fairly Odd Parents.
What are the Fairly Odd Parents' name? Wanda?
Wanda and Cosmo.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Wands and Wings, Floaty Crowny.
Although they're not really, they're both Oscars.
Yeah, no, they're both goofy.
I'm completely lost on this odd couple thing. I brought it up as a trope. I don't know who Oscar or Felix are.
Okay.
But Merck's point
stands. This person's being a real Felix.
Yeah.
This is
comedy gold, is what you've got on your hands.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
Yeah,
it when you're setting up the you don't want this to happen, and it just keeps happening, it will be funny.
It's very funny to just talk to your DM and be like, hey, could we stop having fun, please?
Yeah.
I also feel like, though, you now, like, if you make sure to communicate to your DM, like, I want a horse someday, like, and make it clear someday you might get, like, you might finally summon just mm-hmm. a
the
horse.
Most serious horse.
Yeah.
The most serious.
I'm wondering if this campaign is goofy and this neutral crucial paladin question. Is out of place, or if this DM is just targeting this one player and being like, you're the one weird thing here.
Yes.
Well, I really hope that they're in on it a little bit. It seems like maybe they're not because they keep asking for a normal horse. Although asking for a normal horse is a pretty funny running gag. If
that's
you keep
what
getting,
I'm saying, it's like if someone was like, can I just have a normal horse?
It's like, yeah, you can have a normal horse. Yeah. Oh no, it's a Saint Bernard.
Hey, I'm wagging my tail here.
I low key did this to Caldwell in campaign one. Although I would do it so it was sad. Oh. So anytime he summoned a steed, it'd be like, I was in a different world with my best friend, my owner, and you took me away from it. Now I can't remember his face.
Yeah, because they also always like met.
They
their
always
own
had a family.
Yeah. They were like, constantly getting killed.
Yeah. I summoned a silly so donkey funny. One time, and it absolutely got its head chopped off.
Oh yeah. I loved watching all those steeds suffer.
I will say the only thing that bumps me about this is that you out of character asked why this keeps happening. And I feel like the honest answer is because it's funny. Because I am playing a funny game and you're being so serious. Yeah. But then to kind of like rule check and be like, no, you see, it's because of your alignment. It's like, no. Yeah. Like level with me. Uh-huh. Be like, it's funny to make the whole table laugh. Yeah,
the dog with an accent is because of my alignment.
Yeah. Like, it's that doesn't make any
sense. It's my fault that I got the Saint Bernard.
New Yorkers are celestial.
I was going to say, no matter what, I'm ruling with this neutral paladin because you did the work of being like, hey, I'm talking to you out of character. Why is this happening?
Yes.
I'm just saying that there might be a reason that is like not malice behind it.
Yes. So the neutral paladin was the one that wrote into us, right?
Yes.
Okay. So like they clearly listened to the show. They like to cut up and laugh a little bit.
I'd say get a little silly.
Every once in a while.
It depends on the situation because I think you also have the right to be badass. You know what I mean?
For
like
sure.
Part of D&D is doing cool shit.
But as the DM, you also have the right to make your PCs wait to be badass.
Uh-huh. I think maybe you make this like, if this is like important to your character, then the DM probably can meet you halfway. And either it's like a D8 roll and like two of the numbers are not silly, or like you pray to your god and eventually like find a commune where like you are summoning a not silly creature. Maybe there is like some way to work through this. And it's like as you level up, as you like strengthen your connection or like your faith deepens, maybe you can summon the mystical long awaited normal horse.
But also there's like freaking horses from the Feywild that are just sick horses. Maybe that's what you do. Because first off, like I said, I'm rolling with the neutral paladin no matter what. I'm just saying that like it might be funny and that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But here's what you do. It has to be a fey. Great. Look up a bunch of fey creatures.
That's
find a couple sick fey horses.
Jake, you've got your computer open right now.
Yeah.
Bailiff. I'm just wondering if we could rule this on a technicality, because I'm pretty sure that summon steed, you might get to choose it yourself, right? I don't know if the DM gets to choose it.
I don't know that the DM gets to choose it, but regardless, Justice Beardsley is right. The DM going to the book, but making shit up already makes them wrong.
Okay, here's what it is. The Valinar steed is cool. Ooh. They like look like stars, and it's a horse, and they have like cool abilities.
I also think
but what's not cool about Fred Flintstone?
Yeah.
His dishwasher was a mastodon. I think that's pretty damn cool.
Honestly, that is cool.
Yeah. His best friend is small.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, he's
Barney,
a small guy.
Is Barney
small?
Why is
smaller than Fred?
Barney's small, dude.
They're both bigger than Bam Bam.
Barney's small.
Bam Bam's a child, dude.
Bam Bam's a baby,
Bam Bam's
man.
A freaking baby. Bam Bam can
what are you
say
talking
Bam?
About?
Dude, Barney's tiny.
Barney's tiny.
Barney's way. Barney's
played by Steve Baldwin in the movie.
I do not remember.
Barney's tiny.
That was Rick Moranis in the movie. Are you kidding me?
The live action, you maniac. We're talking about fucking regular ass Barney.
I'm not using my computer to look up Simon Steed, but I am looking up Barney Flintstone height.
Barney weighs 110.
Oh my.
And he's stout.
He's a caveman. He gets no nutrition.
Dude, he's small. He's half
so small.
The size of.
Oh my
God. He's half the size of Fred.
He is a lot smaller. I'll admit that he's smaller than Fred, but no one knows the size of Fred.
He's 2 feet shorter than Betty. Okay. Look up his family.
I'm looking at the Rubbles.
Bam Bam is to Barney what Barney is to Betty. Did you think Barney was huge?
I thought they were the same size.
They were the same size?
Jake.
Okay, so here's Betty is bending down to kiss Barney.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a bad sign. Sure. That's a bad sign for your argument, man.
Yeah. Okay. To me, there are no small guys.
How tall is the Jetson compared to George? Do you guys remember the crossover? Okay. George Jetson met them.
Okay, so I'm going to say Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
6'1".
He's that tall? No way. Fred Flintstone, he's caveman tall. He's like 5'8".
He's also based on we could just look up
the guy from the Honeymooners. They look to be about the same size when they're meeting
really?
Each other.
I would say that George is taller just because of futuristic medicine.
Why did they meet each other?
There was a crossover VHS that was always checked out from our blockbuster.
Damn.
And we finally got it. It was the best night of my life.
Good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish.
Mm-hmm. Absolute good one.
Well, I'm going to call Hanna-Barbera real quick. Just get an actual answer on this.
I actually do have an answer.
Okay.
Yeah. Fred Flintstone is 5'6" tall.
Wow. How tall is Barney?
Price is Right rules. Wait, no, that means I lose.
Yeah, that means you also lose.
Fuck.
No height listed for George Jetson.
See, this
is the future. We don't know yet.
I don't trust this.
So anyway, I think that the punishment here is that Barney Rubble is driving your car.
Anyway,
he's doing a bad job.
So I think we're all, I mean, everybody decide who you're going to rule for. I think I'm also for the neutral paladin here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this DM had a bullshit excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think their excuse was bad, but it's possible that in disliking it, you're being funny. And then that is why everyone
The DM could have said that. But
that's also
said,
not
to keep
on
it
your
light
shoulders.
Around
yes.
here.
Uh-huh.
It's also not on your shoulders. If you're being funny by not enjoying it, but you're not having fun, then you're also allowed to be like, but actually I'm not having
fun. So next time, actually, you could reverse this by just being like, I'm going to summon a steed, yabba dabba doo, and then
you go
silly when you're summoning the seed, then the
trick it, yeah.
Yeah,
you know the yin to that yin.
Almost try to metagame, Barney Rubble to come in and save
you. I'm gonna summon a steed.
And then they're like, "What the fuck?" And then they're like, "You get a normal horse."
Yeah.
And then you say, "Thank you. I will name him Valinor, champion of."
He does my taxes.
All right, so we're ruling against this DM. What is the cruel and unusual punishment that we're gonna inflict onto them?
I think
something Flintstones related.
It's got to be Flintstones related. You're never allowed to have a Flintstones vitamin ever again.
Wow.
Yeah. That's actually kind of harsh.
Or anytime that you eat ice cream, you have to have Flintstones vitamins as topping.
Sprinkles is replaced with Flintstone vitamins. So you're just going to have 10,000% your daily value of vitamin C.
Your piss is going to be neon.
You're
going to
be
vitamins.
Fortified.
And your molars are going to be caked.
You will not be able to click-clack your teeth.
Yeah, there's not a click-clack
You will
sight.
Curse the name. You will curse the name of Barney Rubble.
And when you open up the pack, they'll all be yellow and orange.
Yeah. Oh, no!
Yeah.
Not a single more of Dino?
Yeah, exactly.
Bailiff, go ahead and look up, how tall is Jackie Gleason?
There you go.
What is Jackie Gleason
with the references today?
I
told you I was 58 years old.
We are in a Twilight Zone.
I've got the height if you care to guess.
2'5". Well, this is what Fred Flintstone's true height is. I don't care what the other thing is. I'm 6'1".
He's 5'10".
Fuck.
Was 5'10".
Okay.
And Art Carney, who I imagine is Barney.
Yeah.
Well, they've got completely different builds.
The exact same goddamn height.
Oh, vindication for that. That's not vindication.
Rain him in.
Justice Murphy, I beseech you, respect
the
new
back.
Justice,
you cannot fist fight the bailiff.
Justice, I bring up the clock. I said nothing of Barney.
Justice is, if we fight amongst ourselves, the bailiff wins.
It's true. It's us versus the bailiff. That's how every courtroom runs.
Us versus the bailiff and everyone versus the stenographer.
All right. Shall we move on?
Such a quick aside, but my mom was studying to be a stenographer. And
really?
Yeah. And there's a whole court reporting school, and you hit four buttons at the same time. It means a word. Whoa. And so she got a new cat while we were away, and we came back and she was like, this is Plar. And that was like the abbreviation for something else. I don't know. Something car. I don't know. But then we started calling the cat Plur. And then my mom absorbed that. And now her cat is named Plur, and she doesn't know that's like from rave culture.
Wait. I didn't know it was from rave culture.
It's peace, love, unity, respect.
That is what cats are all about.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what my mom's all about, really. Like, if your mom's cat gets loose, then she's just gonna like be wandering the neighborhood, being like, "I'm looking for Plur."
Oh, we are obsessed with that.
And everyone's like, "Come with me, lady."
Yeah. She's like, "Plur, Plur." It's like getting dark. It's dawn.
What's also weird is that the cat says "Plur" instead of "Purr."
Yeah, exactly. She's like, "Are you plurring?"
Which normally a cat will just very clearly say "Purr" when it's happy.
Right.
Yeah. They look at you and in a human, deep human voice say, purr.
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 Yeah. Purr. Like that.
Purr. Purr.
Yeah, it weirded me out when your cats did that the first time, but now I kind of love it.
Yeah, It's nice. Yeah. It's nice and resonant. It's a good healing vibration.
All right, Ben, let's
yes, of course. So ordered. Our next case comes from Abby. Abby writes, may it please the court. To the most excellent and honorable justices of the Supreme Crit, and also the bailiff, who is fine, I guess. can you please help solve an argument my sister and DM and I have been having for several months?
Whoa.
We were fighting a frost giant who had been using legendary actions throughout the fight. My sister dealt the killing blow because she got a nat 20 and used her last divine smite.
Sick.
As the DM was narrating how the giant was dying, he had the giant take out a hunting horn and blow into it, calling the bigger daddy frost giant. We then had to run away because we were pretty low on health and spells as a group, and it kind of changed the trajectory of the story. My sister and I argued that giant was already dead and couldn't use his legendary action to do that. So the bigger giant should never have come. Were we wrong to argue so heatedly with the DM about it? Or was he wrong to have his very dead giant pull out a horn to call his dad to the fight?
To me, once again, this is a thing that happens every once in a while where you can smell the DM sweating, where they were supposed to set up the big bad.
Murph, you're a DM. What does DM sweat smell like?
Ooh.
It smells like Axe body spray.
Ooh.
What? Oh,
fragrant.
Axe body spray.
Whoa. Yeah.
And deep, deep musk.
Even if you're not wearing Axe body spray?
Right.
Yeah. Really?
That's the must.
Yeah. Oh, that's where Axe body spray comes from.
Exactly.
The effort of
they
DMs.
Milk DMs.
Oh, they milk them.
They milk
them. Oh, I love DM milk.
Although their commercials make sense now.
Yeah. No, this very much feels to me like this person wanted to set up the cinematic thing.
Yeah.
But then they fucked up and they tried to do something in the mechanics without doing it correctly. What they should have done is had on one of their turns is like their object interaction or whatever, have them do it, have the big bad in the distance, have it close in as the fight finishes or whatever, and that all feels copacetic. This DM made a huge mistake, which is to try to explain things in mechanics when what they're really doing is doing a cutscene. That always doesn't work out.
Yes.
If you're going to do a cutscene.
Really unsatisfying on the heels of like a nat 20 crit to like the killing blow. You have one smite left. You know, like the whole table is so excited. So it's such a bummer to be like, and then they call 911. It's like, what?
And then the frost giant calls his dad.
Yeah.
And then he shows it to fucking
calls his dad, and the big dad kills you all.
The big dad's there.
I feel like I am kind of bewitched by the Murphy Musk right now, and I'm kind of willing to rule. That just seems pretty cut and dry to me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. How about they have to eat? We'll give them the same punishment. So I'm ruling
against the DM or ruling
against the DM.
Against the DM.
Okay. Yeah. Let me point out one little thing.
Ooh.
They say, were we right to argue so heatedly with the DM?
Oh.
So I'm picturing multiple people kind of yelling at the DM, which I think is not ever okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I believe that was a small transgression.
Interesting.
I agree. But is this friend court? Is this politeness court?
Here.
Do you know what, though?
Let him speak.
I think you're right. Were we right to argue so heatedly? And it's like, the DM kind of pulled a move that made things a little less fun.
Yes.
But maybe that's not worth a heated argument.
Yeah.
That's just worth you privately being like, I bet they probably fucking regret that move.
I think I think different parties and different tables have a different Scoville index for the heat with which they are arguing.
Scoville index?
That is how hot peppers are. Yeah.
So a hot sauce will give you like the Scoville rating.
There's also different people describe heatedness as different things.
Who is Scoville?
Like people could say that me and Jake's Barney argument was heated.
Right. Yeah.
It was only heated because you were like punching. You gave me a Charlie horse.
Right. Yeah.
We cut it out, but yeah, Murph tackled him.
We made
Jake Barney small.
We made Jake change into a Barney tunic.
You look pretty small to me now.
The thing is, like with this DM, is if they really wanted this big bad to show up, they could have done it in a way that would have been satisfying. Like you kill them and then like the stuff starts shaking and the dad was en route anyway.
Yeah, why
you know
why
I mean
they
like
have to be
they
a
just connected it in in an unsatisfying way. Yeah. So it's not a cardinal sin. Like they still had the power to bring that
right
in. So yeah, I guess that part is interesting.
But
did we argue so heatedly?
Yeah, I think though the players, especially with like a crit and stuff, and the fact that the DM didn't tease it at all, it just came with the horn was kind of weird.
Actually, but Justice Murphy, that is a very good point because I feel like the killing blow on a crit actually does merit a more heated argument.
Yeah,
because it was a
yeah.
bigger moment that was stolen.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I'm going to choose to read this generously and say that they were probably joking around or like it was like heated the way friends get heated.
Oh, the mustard is flowing.
They said they also said that they've been arguing about this for months. So I don't know if like the
Okay, I think that so since Murph started talking about DM sweat, I think
DM
I'm
milk.
Feeling well the sweat turns into
the
milk
is
once
milk.
It curdles. We'll
start calling it milk.
But I think I'm feeling feel like it's possible that this DM could be like, why the fuck did I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Although
they
then they wouldn't
then
be
they
arguing about
they
it.
Well, back down.
I'm going to go ahead and abstain.
Yeah.
Whoa,
very interesting.
That's right.
How dare you?
Can I just say, I wish that I had called you guys ahead of time and said, can each of these people submit their astrological signs of everyone involved? Because I would like to know that.
Next time you guess,
I would absolutely love to know 100%. What's involved.
Do you want to make a guess? I would love to
I'm
make
just
a
wanting
guess.
To know if, no, just hearing the part where it's like for months we've been arguing about this, mm-hmm. this sounds like a very rule abiding Capricorn person who's playing the game and they're like, this DM cheated. And this DM cheated me, and I feel wronged by it, and I'm curious about that.
Oh, what about the DM? Like, what about someone kind of being like, "Oh fuck, they fucked
me." The DM
me.
Could
I
be
need
anyone.
To get
anyone. I think the DM could be anyone because you just like you had the cool thing that you wanted to like Murph. You were like, you should have teased it earlier.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. That's the pro move. Like, you could have just like blown on the horn, and we don't know what it meant. And then like, turns later, we find out. You know,
Murph. Here's a question for you as a DM. When do you admit that you made a musk fuss? When do you admit that you kind of made a little mistake?
And I usually, feel like on the show we do that where we literally just pause and I'll just be like, wait, I don't want to do that. Hang on.
Yeah.
And you just take a second to think.
I was fussy because
I
was musky.
Yeah.
That's what you say. You quietly say that without explanation. I think we've got our punishment if depending on how the vote goes.
Wow. Yeah.
So Emily has abstained. Justice Ashford has abstained.
I noticed until I know astrological signs, I must abstain.
Insane new precedent.
Submit your stars.
I'm going to roll with the players here. I hope that your arguments were just fun razzing back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't yell at each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think that you were wronged here. I think that legendary action horn was bullshit. I think the DM could have done the same thing or teased the same thing or even given you a moment to rest between the two fights because you got this crit and because you killed this dude before you got the horn out.
Mm-hmm.
So I rule with you. Is that where everybody else is?
You're ruling with the players?
Yes.
I rule with the players as well.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I
let the musk flow.
This DM is going to need to start talking about musk at the table a lot without describing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that there should be more scent-based stuff in D&D.
Yes.
Oh,
so,
wait.
Like,
right.
I feel like as a DM,
that should be the punishment.
As a DM, they have to start describing the scent
musks
of every NPC.
There is an Axe body spray called Peace. That's the flavor.
And they have to start wearing
Peace. Whenever they admit they're wrong, they have to coat themselves head to toe in peace.
Dude, I want the plur flavor.
Oh my God.
Peace, love, unity, and respect.
That isn't that's an four axe different blur. Axes
that there's you've got to be an axe blur.
You need to. You need to campaign. You need to start an online campaign for axe body spray axe to get.
Can I? Yesterday,
I want to pitch y'all what like the vocal tag for the Plur commercial should be.
Incredible.
Axe Plur.
Okay.
Sexy. Actually, it kind of sounds it's like my last name, Emily Axe Plur.
Axe.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Fine, I'll be your spokeswoman.
It's like nine people fucking in an elevator, and that's the whole commercial.
Is this a punishment or a fucking blessing?
But no yeah. one can come because they're on too many drugs.
This commercial oh showing everything.
Yeah, wow, this commercial, we're really like following along at all the beats.
They're really so grinding up and saying that they can't finish.
Oh, yeah, wait. All of them are saying, talking about how they
they're
can't
saying it feels
they're trying
amazing,
to work together so much.
Soft.
But
it's the Empire State Building and they're showing every floor.
Oh my god.
Why?
Oh
so ordered. So you all have right. to invent Axe Plur and then spray it all over your body.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it doesn't even sound like a punishment anymore.
Yeah. Tag, bring back tag.
There you go. Are you tag. Jealous?
Yeah, because I fucking thought that we came up with Plur here. And that's a $1 billion business idea. And now we're outsourcing it. We're letting
okay,
somebody
so why
else
don't
take
we do,
the
why
glory.
Don't we do Axe Plur will be our thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tag Lur oh, will be theirs. So perfect. They don't get peace. It's just
yeah.
Lur.
Yeah, it's just Lur. Okay. It's just love, unity,
peace,
and respect.
Lur,
which is
no
nothing
respect.
Without peace.
Yeah. And they get no peace because nobody's coming.
What is
yeah.
love without peace?
Wow, what is love deep. Without peace? It's not
incredibly
coming.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Do you guys know the... Wait, I'll show you after this. There's a whole peace, love, unity, respect handshake wow. where you give
really?
Someone like...
I'm so excited
yeah,
to learn.
Can I see it? No,
okay.
I'd like to see it right
okay,
now.
Right?
Perfect,
okay.
perfect.
Okay. Say, imagine podcast. That my arm okay. is lined with a bracelet.
Bracelets, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, we go peace and we touch.
Those are two peace signs touching at the ears.
Which is oh. making a heart.
And then we
making
do heart unity. And then we do respect. And then I... move one of
your
my
bracelets
onto your hand.
So it's just
hand.
Assumed that you have multiple
and
bracelets?
And that you came to the rave to give. And it's like
yeah.
a what? Bartering system.
Yeah,
and you
I was
going to
say, this is like very Burning
drugs.
Man.
You're
yeah,
like
yeah.
barely standing up and you're like, no. Yeah. And
it's then just exchanging bracelets.
And you just get a bracelet shimmied onto your tiny little arm because
yeah.
you're 13. Okay, look, I'll speak for myself here.
Right, yeah.
And,
this is a Christian rave.
And then you look down and you're like, damn, this one has really cool stuff on it. And you're like, it was great to meet you, bye.
Wait, are they not all like glow-in-the-dark bracelets? It's like other bracelets?
No, it's like beads. They're like
they're
handmade
beads.
At home.
Whoa. Yeah.
Like,
are there lettered beads? Would one say like cutie?
Yeah, exactly.
Great, gotcha.
Whoa.
Cutie or like
cutie. They
believe
say,
in Christ.
They say believe in Christ.
Yeah.
Save whoa. That one. That's for us.
Oh, okay.
The person
the merch
who you,
that
the
we've generated
who you
on.
Do the Plur handshake with and mm-hmm. then see the bracelet says believe in Christ, that yeah. person is a fucking narc.
They're a narc. and then they pull it over to your arm, but then they take out handcuffs.
Yeah.
that's what they put on your hand.
anyway, come with me. You're only 13 years
turn
old.
Turn around. Yeah.
You're too young to be in the elevator at the
No.
You can't be in this commercial. okay.
All right,
so ordered. Whatever wherever we landed. The next case comes from Tromor T. They write, "May it please the court, honorable justices, and the one who finds the cases." That's me.
Wow.
The one who finds the cases. Wow, that actually makes you sound a little epic.
It
right?
does, actually, yeah. So thank
he,
you for
was
that.
He was capitalized to yeah. find the cases.
No, none of that.
Case
yeah.
finder.
That
was just disrespect. That was pure disrespect.
Case finder.
Yeah.
Case what finder. What have you brought us, case finder?
Yes. We're like those vultures
yes,
from the
justices.
Dark Crystal.
We're like an NPC you pass in The Witcher. Are you a case finder?
Are you a case finder?
Case finder over
Mommy,
here.
Mommy, it's a case finder.
Oh, stay Jesus. Away from him, child.
Is it true what they say about case finders?
There's drowners in the lake.
I am playing in a game where another party member is a Kenku.
Okay.
Who talks exclusively in mimicry.
That's what Kenkus do?
And okay. takes this to the extreme of refusing to impart information to the rest of the PCs because his character, quote, wouldn't have heard enough of the words before. For example, there was an important encounter he had on his own with a necromancer who had skeletal cats, which I know my NPC wants to investigate. But every time I ask questions in game, the only response is that his Kenku makes a cat noise. is this deep role-playing fair, or has it gone too far? My character has a prophecy that I think might relate to the necromancer, but I can't come up with an in-game reason to extrapolate a cat noise to the actual facts. I humbly await your justice.
And you've never heard the word cat.
I feel like there's like, when you know how like you hear stories about how awful Jared Leto is on set?
Yeah, or
like,
the guy from Succession.
But he's method.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thing. Yes. I feel like there are D&D players who are method, and I don't understand.
I'm curious about that person's experience of it, where you're like, how do you not feel how ground to a halt everything is?
Is this fun for you? Some people get off on just being kind of obstinate.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's like, you're not the one giving the puzzles. That's the DM's job.
It is Leto-esque.
Yeah.
I think like we've said this before, but it's just like, I mean, if for you playing a character and it's your performance art, just make sure that you're on the same page as the rest of your party.
I think unless Kenku's, it does say like in the book, if you're going by the book, that they do talk in mimicry.
Right.
My understanding of that is that there's almost like an interesting thing with their voice where like they speak in like different voices almost, but they know most words. Yes. Like they've heard the word cat.
You know who else speaks in mimicry for the first 3 years of their life? Human beings. Like that's how you learn to talk.
That's true. Whenever.
So that means that they would have access to full sentences that they heard.
Yeah, certainly.
They would just be doing it. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, not knowing. I mean, first off, you're an adventurer in a D&D campaign. You know what a fucking skeleton is.
Right.
You also have a skeleton.
Yeah.
Like you probably have to talk about bones at some point.
It's a D&D campaign. You're going to talk about bones.
You're going to talk about freaking bones. Name me one D&D campaign where you don't talk about bones.
Can't.
Show me the campaign.
Won't
you're yelling at me again.
That's like seeing a tall Barney.
Oh, yuck it up, Justice.
Tall Barney.
Hiya, Fred. I'm so short. That's what he said. He
That's what he fucking
line.
Said.
That's what he fucking said, dude.
I do like that, though, as like the elusive thing that you'll never get. I'm just looking for my tall Barney.
Yeah, that's like seeing a tall Barney.
Oh, you know what Hurwitz is thinking of? He was watching that Flintstones baby show where they're all the same size and they're
kids.
Babies.
No, thank
you. You're watching Flintstones kids, dude.
You're pushing me.
Was Flintstones too mature for you, dude? You're watching Flintstones kids?
Barney's what are you yabba dabba doing with your life?
You're out there chasing tall Barneys. Live in the real world.
What are we talking about?
Don't go chasing tall Barneys.
We're talking about
the
Kenku. We're talking about this Jared Leto Kenku.
Also, okay, wait. Okay, yeah. Beardsley.
Yes.
What do you think the astrological sign of the person playing the Kenku is?
Oh,
Aquarius.
Really eating it up.
I love
what?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Do Aquariuses really like chew the scenery?
No, they're just absolute like ghosts on Earth. They're not.
We have the star justice here. I love it.
Justice of the stars.
Justice to the stars. We should only be trying Leto cases, actually.
Yeah, we really should.
It's unfortunate that Morbius has become such a meme because now we can't make Morbius jokes.
I've had him on the tip of my tongue.
Because I really want to talk about Morbius right now, but we're not.
We're talking about D&D cases and Flintstones. That's it.
Flintstones?
We're on the cutting edge, baby.
Yabba Dabba Dinosaurs at HBO Max show?
We actively don't want to talk about things that you know. I want to talk about the fucking Odd Couple.
You know Leto's going to do a Flintstones reboot.
Oh my
where he plays a tall
you
Barney.
Where he plays like a hot tall Barney.
Hot tall Barney.
Tall Barney? Who's the Fred in that situation, though? Who could
also
it possibly
Leto.
Be?
Yeah.
Leto can clump.
Leto can clump.
Leto can clump.
And unfortunately,
Leto can
Leto
clump.
Flintstones live action.
Wow. How's they'd have to like Hobbit style shoot Barney from far away.
Look, here's the thing is that like we laugh at it, but also like I would love to advertise Axe Plur in the All Little Flintstones.
Yeah, right. Well, it would have to be in a streaming service to do that.
Yeah.
Straight to freaking Paramount Plus.
Straight to streaming.
But also it would have to be
Oh Flintstones.
Straight to Hulu Live, Leto clumps the Flintstones.
Hulu Live.
Leto Clumps. Oh, by the way, Beardsley,
clump means you can play.
It's like the clumps from The Nutty Professor.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if you can, this is an ongoing joke.
It's like an ongoing joke. Clump. We talk about different actors that can clump.
That we think can do it.
Oh, this is a great game. I love this.
Yeah, so Leto unfortunately can clump.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
We have to admit that Leto can clump, even if we don't like Leto.
Yes. Yes. And that we would watch it.
And we would watch Leto clump the Flintstones.
Uh huh. Hot off that Morbius heat. He's clumping the Flintstones.
Sweet. Shall we do...
Wait, do we need a sentence?
We need a sentence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this Kanku, we're against this Leto.
Oh, maybe they have to run sound for the Leto clump. The Leto clump Flintstones.
Oh, my fucking God. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So ordered. Yeah. Our next case comes from Nikki DG. They write, to the venerable crit justices and the supple bailiff, Jake.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Parentheses.
I mean, yeah. Wearing that Barney tunic, I can really see your like, nice shoulders
it's
and traps.
It's crazy that you dress like that without knowing that that's what we were doing.
Yeah. It's come also out. Crazy that you were like wearing an animal hide, but also a tie.
Yeah. And I did run through a car's floor to get
it's
here.
It's weird that Hertz had that at the airport.
Yeah, you have to pay extra.
Which is crazy because the Flintstones kids don't drive the cars.
Well, they're kids. They don't have licenses.
That's what I'm saying. You only watch Flintstones kids. Keep up, Tanner.
I'm sorry, man.
I watched the live.
Dude, Tanner watches
Flintstones
kids. Don't fucking turn on me. Justice, we must stick together or the bailiff wins. Or the dreaded stenographer.
Yes.
I see
the stenographer
tapping in the corner.
Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Mint Mobile. It's spring cleaning. We're getting rid of the things that don't serve us anymore, and you know what doesn't serve anyone? Expensive phone bills. If you'd like to declutter your finances, it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/pawpaw. That's mintmobile.com/pawpaw. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/PAWPAW. $45 upfront payment minimum required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want, and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody. I bring you the case of the dwarven bard Mendick Strongwood of Clan Oakenshaft.
Great.
Wow. Okay.
I DM for Mendick. His roleplay is decent.
Okay.
Start over, please.
That's not even what they have a problem with.
A ruling.
His roleplay is decent, but the only problem, it doesn't sound like it's the only problem, but the only problem is he is absolutely terrible in combat. He insists on using a blunderbuss to fight, and after multiple sessions of him not hitting a single thing, I gave him proficiency with the weapon to help. This helped only slightly, so I asked if he would be interested in reclassing Mendick as a gunslinger so he could be more effective in combat. That's when he told me that he actually likes that Mendick is a terrible fighter, because the character's personality is that he's craven and driven only by wanting easy treasure by riding on others' coattails. So far, he has survived by the skin of his teeth on several occasions. In one fight, he went invisible immediately, showed himself to try to shoot a giant spider, missed, and then went into hiding again. Should I double down on my attempts to show him that dumb actions have consequences, or is Mendick all right to keep living his insane life? I'm getting away with it.
I'm low-key on Team Mendick.
Me too. It's kind of tough. It's tough to play with someone who's like, I'm role-playing as scared all the time, because you're kind of like, please grow from that eventually.
Yeah.
So that, because for the sake of the party, the challenge rating assumes that,
that everyone's willing
trying
and able.
Their best.
But I think the DM knows Mendick is trash.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I need to know. What do you think, Star... Star Trek.
I have no
for
idea
Mendick.
On this.
Really?
Mendick. I have no idea. What do you think? Any thoughts?
I don't know enough about astrology to guess.
Yeah. I don't know. This, but because they just sound like they're trying to play and like make a well-rounded character. I guess I do see how it's annoying to interact with, though.
Because you're
so bad.
I think.
I kind of like it, though.
Yeah. I like that all this whole trade-off just makes Mendick an okay role player. Because it's not even like Mendick's like blowing everyone away, being like, Mendick's commitment to character is it's Leto-esque.
Right. the fact that Mendick's roleplay is only okay.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. I think it's like an easy place to go with roleplay where you're like, I'm craven and selfish. And it's just like, okay, so like, how are you going to elevate that? It's like very easy to be like, I run away and I try and steal. But like, I can see that like, if they're not bringing any more dimension to that, then it gets annoying.
They're like the party's heel, which... It's fun to, like, if you're watching from the outside, but within...
Unless for a couple sessions, it can be fun. I almost feel like, at this DM, an option would be to be, like, find something that Mendick cares about. Mm-hmm. Like, beyond treasure. Beyond the treasure. Try and, like, find out what they care about.
Yes.
And try and give them an opportunity to grow a little bit. Like, dangle a reason for them to need to be a little braver. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like they're very interested in the sort of role play aspect, especially in combat. So maybe that will elevate them.
That's, you have to appeal to Mendick's, like, sense of character and,
I mean, don't, like... stay up late doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mendick's
just like
not thinking about this.
Give this like one quick try. Give the person an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
But don't like you don't have to like hold their hand through this shit if they're bad.
Also it sounds like you're trying to kill them and eventually you'll succeed.
It is such good advice for so many D&D situations, which is like try to do this, but don't stay up.
Think about it just for a quick cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee and
this
noodle.
Is a cup of coffee speed right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And try it out.
Yeah.
This is your lunch break, friend. You don't have to work too hard on this.
Here's what I will say. Wow. I will say that I think I would be against Mendick if this were described differently. If it was like the party is getting annoyed, they almost die all the time. Because we've had cases like this where it's like somebody's playing a character that just wants gold and just pushes everyone and runs away and he's annoying as hell and all the players hate
them. We aren't hearing anything like, the annoyed.
So I think if the other players think Mendick's harmless or he's just being funny or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think you can kind of play it from all angles here. You can let Mendick be Mendick, but you can also try to end Mendick.
Yeah, I think let Mendick be Mendick and kill Mendick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
if you just don't
let Mendick
let Mendick be Mendick, but don't pull any punches.
Yeah.
So like, but I also think don't target Mendick. Don't try to make Mendick be anything but Mendick.
Right,
And just keep on doing And if Mendick dies, like Mendick seems likely to do.
Mendick's dying by... Mendick apparently is getting by the skin of his teeth.
You know what's a good thing is like thinking about like all this time that you're trying to help Mendick get better, there's probably PCs that like maybe you could do more with because they might be more receptive.
Yeah,
right.
So
that's true.
It's hard. Yeah.
Use your energy where it's going to be useful.
I think like there's a lot of items and traps in D&D that Mendick would easily fall for.
Oh yeah,
just present, put a mimic on.
Yeah, present a mimic, a treasure chest that's actually a monster.
A Midas touch kind of situation. What's the thing where you turn to gold?
Yeah.
You know the greed. You know, there's so much to pull from.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to kill Mendick.
I also think it's very possible from this description, since we didn't hear that the rest of the party is having a hard time with it. It's possible that you're trying to help Mendick and Mendick doesn't want to be helped. Yeah. And like, maybe you just keep cruising as is.
Yeah. Let Mendick be Mendick.
I think it's fine. It's fine to play like an unoptimized character. And it's even fine to play a character that's like, I want them to be kind of shitty at combat. The thing that makes them a little bit that guy is the like, playing the dude who just wants to go in and steal the treasure.
Right.
Like, that's just flat out fucking annoying.
The going invisible, the kind of like cop out before and after any sort of like grab at cash is like hard.
But I'm gonna say that I'm going to, and you know, this is a court, so this is how it works, I think. I'm gonna lightly side with Mendick, but if other people side against him, and I might change my mind. I'm gonna go ahead and soft side.
Mm-hmm. I also have a soft side with Mendick, just because of the way that it was presented in this way of like, this fucking idiot is only okay at roleplay.
Right.
It's a little kind of like harsh.
Yeah.
I think I would soft side with Mendick, but more just like, but like with a sympathetic gaze to the DM.
We don't like
being
Mendick.
Like,
we don't like Mendick.
No. I get why I like this Mendick. Is frustrating.
I feel for the DM as well.
Yeah, I feel for the DM.
Is it okay to like punish them both a little bit, like community service style? Like make them like pick up cans together?
Well, can we side with Mendick but give Mendick a little light punishment? Is that
That's
weird?
What I'm saying?
Yeah. I think we have to punish the person who loses, but their punishment could affect Mendick.
This could be their meet cute, by the way, is if we punish them together and then they're like picking up cans on the side of the road
they
or they're
already
like,
know each other.
No, but they don't really
they don't
know
really
each
know
other.
Oh, each other.
Wow. I love a meet cute with a friend I've known for 5 years.
Where you bump into each other, papers go everywhere, and you're like,
whoa.
I've never seen you from this age. Angle.
You're teaching each other how to dance.
Right. Well, because we make them wear real sexy cutoffs while they're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So Bailiff Jake, you mentioned liking Mendick.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting character choice to start somebody as an opportunistic coward and have them grow to be, you know.
Yes, I agree with that.
A lot of credit.
I agree with that.
It could just be a Hugo style situation.
I think that I can't tell from this question how long it's been going on, right? Because I agree that it's a fun place to start.
Yeah.
But if this is 15 sessions in and there's been no growth.
Totally.
Yeah.
That then like and there's been opportunities for growth and they've been turned down, that could start to get pretty
on some level I almost think there hasn't been any transgression, nothing wrong has really happened, like Mendick is playing in a way that's gonna get Mendick killed and you kind of floated that warning and Mendick didn't want to change.
Here's where we think let's side with Mendick.
Okay,
does everyone agree with that? Soft side.
We're all
Mendick.
Friends of Mendick.
Yeah.
Okay, we side with Mendick. Your punishment as a DM is to kill Mendick.
Oh, that is a good call, because because the thing that's probably frustrating you is that Mendick is putting the party in harm's way, right? Mm-hmm. By not playing better.
Totally.
So just make it Mendick's life is the one that's at stake. Mm-hmm.
Or you could also make it seem like the party is going to die unless Mendick steps up and does something.
There it is.
That's what I was saying. If you could put Mendick in a situation where they have to grow.
Yeah. But it could...
only dedicated.
I believe in Mendick.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Mendick will be a tall Barney.
There are no tall Barney.
It's a myth. Stand tall, Mr. Rubble. Rise.
I'm a grown man.
Hashtag
I don't
Barney's
think I can
been
grow.
Sitting all along.
What's the opposite of a meat cute?
A cute meat.
Okay, no, I thought it'd be like a danger meat or something like that.
Ooh.
Be a
meat ugly?
Danger separation.
By. Ugly avoid?
Yeah.
I think you need an ugly avoid.
An ugly avoid. You guys need to stop hanging out. Hey, you gotta kill Mendick. Just kill Mendick.
Kill Mendick,
Yeah, traps.
Okay. All right.
Put a trap in the treasure.
We got it.
Mm-hmm.
Or endanger Mendick, right? Mm-hmm. That might be
endanger
better advice.
Everyone but Mendick.
I issue the dissenting opinion of the punishment, but that's fine. We'll move on.
You love Mendick.
I'm a Mendick stan. And our next case, actually, it's kind of like the opposite of a Mendick situation.
Really?
Nick T. writes... May it please the court, the unimpeachable Supreme Crit Justices, and the dubious at best bailiff.
Wow.
Whoa. I present to
you. Hey, you know what? I've decided to flip. I'm on Jake's side here.
Whoa.
That was condescending.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate it.
I actually thought it was good because dubious at best sounds like it could be like an emo album.
Yeah, definitely
so
like a Fall Out Boy style.
Feel like you
all right. Dubious at best.
Dubious at best.
flame eater S.
Our love was dubious at best. You failed the test.
That's to me, 14 years old in an art room being like, this is all music will ever be.
And you were right.
We've peaked. How embarrassing it must be to have written classical music when real music is finally getting made.
Nick T continues, I have been running a 5e campaign with a group of new players, all of whom are close friends of 15 years. Wow. It is my first time DMing, and I put in a ton of effort to create a new world and populate it with fun quests and interesting NPCs.
This does not sound like it's going to end.
Oh, no, this is going to be a fucking...
It's going to be like, my shitty friends of 15 years disrespected me. No.
This is going to be too heartbreaking.
Yeah,
it's the other end of the spectrum.
Stop reading it, Jake. Stop.
This person is a cancer.
I agree with that. I actually know enough to agree with that.
In hopes of being less focused on the mechanical nature of the game and more on the fun roleplay aspects.
Uh-oh.
The players have been on board and dialed in, but our rogue, aptly named Flaming Hot Cheeto, has been taking it too
Mendick
far.
See, Mendick is, at least his name Mendick.
Yeah.
Has been taking it too far. He has decided that his character's alignment is chaotic evil, and as a result, has been actively working against the party's best interests.
That's not
buddy.
This is below Mendick.
Including
below Mendick.
Killing several key NPCs and stealing from other party members.
What?
Several members of the party approached me outside of the game to talk about how they wanted to kill his character. And I decided to confront Flaming Hot Cheeto in an upcoming battle with a Bone Devil. Flaming Hot Cheeto fell in battle. The party made no effort to revive him.
And you get what you get.
That's awesome.
And ultimately, his character died.
Good.
The player was furious.
What?
An absolute maniac.
Oh, my God.
And claimed metagaming.
What?
Okay.
That's metagaming. You named yourself.
I'm sorry, but this is disrupting my immersion of the experience. Flaming Hot Cheeto.
We're playing a serious world.
Dude.
You wouldn't have known that I was working against you. My name is Flaming Hot Cheeto.
I'm sure it's spelled stupid, but like, goddammit, don't do that.
He claimed metagaming and collusion.
Oh,
collusion?
Okay. Here's my read on this. They said they were friends for 15 years. I guarantee you most of those were like when they were in school and just didn't have another choice of friends.
Yeah.
Where you kind of have friends
everyone
from
was
earlier
on the same
in
soccer
your life.
Team.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow. We just live next door to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Most amazing part is this person's awareness that that everyone was colluding against them without the self-awareness to do an inventory and be like, did I do something wrong?
Being Flaming Hot Cheeto.
Yeah.
Being naming yourself Flaming Hot Cheeto. Stealing. Being a chaotic, not even chaotic neutral, chaotic evil rogue. Then when you die, treating it like it's an actual crime and talking like a lawyer. Saying words like collusion. This is
collusion.
This is an insane person.
Oh my God.
Collusion. You can't claim metagaming.
This table is this is a farce.
When your name is metagaming.
This is a kangaroo court.
Oh, good riddance.
Such
it sounds like this solves. Is there anything more to this?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, am I right for letting
Was I wrong to give into the desires of the party, or did Flaming Hot
You were correct. I would say there's so, like, if it's the desires of the party, plural people, to get rid of one of the party, it's because one of them is making it less fun for the group.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Astral Justice, what is your read on Flaming Hot Cheeto?
Oh my God, Gemini.
I know enough about
it. But could be anything. This reminds me a lot, and I don't know if you guys have had this experience, but when you're in an improv class with a stand-up comedian. So they're so used to like being the one and only like solo, and they just like tank scenes by like making big jokes or trying to be like, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, you don't have the collaborative like connective tissue.
Yeah.
So best case scenario, Flaming Hot Cheeto just needs to know the cost of that. The whole table won't really like them.
The fact that this happened and Flaming Hot Cheeto immediately jumped to collusion, you've all worked against me, makes me think that Flaming Hot Cheeto is irredeemable.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I hesitate to say that, but in what world do you grow from that place?
I think start a different text thread right
now. This is a classic D&D court ruling, Beardsley, which is you got to stop being friends with this person.
Oh,
we haven't had to pull this out in a while.
You don't necessarily, because hypothetically, couldn't someone be really a really fun friend, but not a fun person to play D&D with?
Oh, yeah.
Just not
yeah,
good
but
at D&D.
It would be different. But it would be in a way that, they like, this is unrelatable to me to be, like, Flaming Hot Cheeto is one person. Person who claims metagaming and gets super upset is different kind of person. When you bring them both together, I don't want to go to Buffalo Wild Wings with that guy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, this has to bleed over into other areas.
I also think that, like, in the same way that, like, when you play D&D with friends, it makes you closer because you guys work together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you're working, you're building, you're relying
on each other.
You're okay, going through epic things together. So this almost seems like the opposite, that this would fundamentally change my idea of someone to be like, this is how you, I went into a magical fantasy realm and you treated me like this.
So imagine, so let me give you guys an example of what Flaming Hot Cheeto did here. We had the holiday special with Yugo, where Yugo, Amir Blumenfeld came on the podcast for a one shot and got everyone killed by betraying them and killing them all. Yeah. But it was very, very funny.
It was very funny, and we pretty much kind of thought it might happen.
Yeah. So we knew it was going to happen going into it. However, imagine if, during the fight,
Yugo dies. He asked me afterwards, does that happen a lot? It's like, no, I've never fucking experienced
Imagine if we had this happen, if Yugo betrayed the party, and then when you guys fought back to Yugo and killed Yugo, if Amir was like, collusion!
Yeah. But, like, sincerely.
You right.
Yeah.
Got into, like, a fight with us? Wouldn't you have to just cancel if I were you? Wouldn't you just have to be like,
we'd have to, we'd take a break.
How are we gonna talk?
You were actually mad at me, man.
Yeah, you were furious.
I live in abject fear of finishing a session and someone being like, hey, man, you were a little too much back then.
And this person is just like instantly just screaming collusion? No.
Yes.
I think the collusion accusation is so funny.
It's so wild to me.
The way the person preloaded this whole thing really got us, though.
I know. Because
it was just kind of like, that's all we're all trying to do.
Especially when you were like, oh, such a cancer, because I love cancer. So I was just like, you're so right.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this person. The sensitivity. Oh, my God.
You know what I think is a perfect punishment here?
Oh.
I say, okay, so we're all ruling against Flaming Hot Cheeto,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
I think this will settle both the most recent cases. I think Mendic leaves the old campaign and replaces Flaming Hot Cheeto.
Oh, my God.
Because this DM would appreciate Mendic.
Yes.
Because Mendic.
Mendic's a step up.
Mendic's a step up.
Yeah.
Mendic's a
D plus.
Mendic's definitely a couple of steps up.
Yeah.
I think Mendic could work someday.
Mendic has some long game views.
D plus could be a B minus, and Flaming Hot Cheeto's just an F.
Flaming Hot Cheeto just goes back to bar backing.
There is no tall Barney, but there might be a long Mendic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. There's a long Mendic.
Can clump.
Wow.
I'm so curious who else you guys think can clump. But I think it started with Brad Pitt.
We're trying to figure out if Pitt can clump versus Pratt could clump.
Right.
Yeah.
Pratt cannot clump.
I know we said Pratt can clump.
No.
But Pitt can clump because 12 Monkeys, that's great Pitt.
Oh, my God. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So good.
The new Pitt movie looks great on the speed train in Tokyo.
Haven't seen.
Oh,
it comes out in August.
I saw a poster for it, and I was like, that looks cool.
Yeah, the poster. It's like, cool, bucket hat, Brad Pitt, I'm in.
Oh, it's Brad Pitt's face? I'll watch that.
Yeah. With a weird hat? That's
clumping. And it's the dude from Atlanta.
It's Brian Tyree Henry.
There it is. All right, so ordered. And I suppose we'll close out the session with a Dice Christ confessional. Justice Beardsley, this is where we...
There's no separation of church and state.
Yeah.
So somebody gives a confession, and then we absolve them of their sins through Dice Christ.
It's just cleaner that way.
Yeah.
We don't have to go to a different building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These robes are reversible. There's a priest collar on the other side. And this confessional comes from C. Connor H., they write, my humble, opulent justices and also Tucker's girlfriend's roommate. That's my wife's side piece who became her main thing, and then I.
We have deep lore.
Yeah. Incredible. Deep lore.
You read the novella that we sent you, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I come forth with a confession for Dice Christ and seek his forgiveness. Okay. I am DMing my friends in a sci-fi fantasy campaign, and they have recently befriended a bartender NPC. What they don't know is that this bartender, Trin, is actually part of a shadowy organization of cyborgs that have been searching for them.
Okay, first off, this is the perfect name for like a fuckboy.
Trin. Yeah.
Trin.
It's honestly kind of close to Tucker.
Does everyone want to go around and give everyone their best Trin?
Hey.
Yeah. What's up?
What's that?
Oh yeah, I'm fucking Trin.
What's up? I'm Trin, yeah. And I'm trying to get my tip wet.
Oh no! You want a gin and juice? I'll make you a Trin and juice.
You want a chrome dim?
You want a cronut?
That's they when a nut a on your chrome and a donut.
Recently, the party was discussing a previous cyborg they dealt with in earshot of Trin. They asked if he reacted to the mention of the cyborg. Mm. I asked for a perception check, and one of the players got a dirty 20. I said he didn't. In my mind, he wouldn't react because their involvement with these cyborgs is exactly why he's following them, and he wouldn't blow his cover. Mm. Still, I feel like I cheapened the role and a possible interesting development, despite it throwing my planned reveal off the rails. Mm. So please, Dice Christ, forgive me for hiding the true intentions of my cyborg NPC. I feel like I've walked the path of the railroad and need straightening. Dice Christ, be with you.
I will say, Dice Christ would have protected you. You could have done this by the book. You could have had Trin's deception be high. Then Trin could have rolled it legit and beat the dirty 20, and your conscience would be clean.
Mm-hmm. I also think that it makes sense that Trin wouldn't react. If Trin knows that they know.
That's up to the role. That's up to... Mm-hmm.
But like if you're embedded, if you're like essentially pretend like you're a cop trying to get in with the mob... You're not going to be like, when they like mention mob business, you're not going to be like,
that's not it though. That's mentioning like cop business. That's like, that's being in a room and being like, if there's any undercover cops in here, I'm going to shoot them all in the head. And then
you
like,
look for the flinch.
The one person might, if you roll the
your cover can be blown. That's the point of being undercover.
Give yourself
that's
advantage
the
on that deception
roll. Yeah. Give yourself advantage on the deception roll because you've been deep. Mm-hmm. There's all these things.
I should clarify one thing because they also wrote, for clarity, I have the NPC using true polymorph scrolls, warforged to human, to hide his true form from the party. I've hinted that he's remarkably dexterous, good with computers, and cold to the touch.
Oh my god!
Sounds rad.
Done some great work.
So I do feel the groundwork has been laid for them to be suspicious enough that you wouldn't necessarily throw them off completely by saying he didn't react.
I think you have done well otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Go with Dice Christ.
Yeah.
Use deception rolls in the future.
Yeah. Let one of your players hook up with Trin.
Yeah.
Also, Dice Christ doesn't want us to be perfect. Dice Christ just wants us to try to be good.
Mm. Wow, that's beautiful.
Wow.
Put that on a fucking notebook. Spray it with plural body spray. And sell it in the store.
Oh, I
Get
love
that
it.
Off the shelves.
I love a notebook that smells.
Yeah.
The smell of a fresh notebook.
This bookstore.
It smells like fucking Trin, if I'm being honest.
I love going into a Barnes & Noble that reeks.
Yeah.
Sweet. And yeah, so go forth and spray your notebooks with Barnes & Noble smell.
Amen.
And with that, I think we will take a recess.
Ooh. Yes.
And we will reconvene over on our Patreon for bonus cases.
Indeed.
Over on patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it.
Sorry about it.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Don't do it. Ali Beardsley will be joining us over on our Patreon.
Ooh, I can't wait.
But before that, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh my gosh. I have so much I'd love to plug.
Oh, great.
Plug it all then.
Yeah.
So, no.
Currently,
I'm going to carpentry classes, and so I'm kind of trying to unplug. I'm trying to be out in the sun.
Saving that for
a plug for unplug.
Class.
Yeah, but you can find me on Be Real. I'm Ali Beardsley.
What is the thing you plugged?
Bitch, I love that you guys are doing this. It's a new social media where once a day, everyone in the world gets a notification and you click on it and it takes a photo with your front and back camera simultaneously and posts that.
Oh,
it's
no.
supposed to be like the
I have heard it be real.
No. Yes. No.
Yes.
Does it
no.
work?
No.
What?
Does Beards, it work? Like, do not give this no, access you, like, click to your through, life.
You're the one who pushes. You're like, the one who does it.
Okay. Yeah.
You do the. No, yeah,
you
yeah,
the everyone gets
control.
The alert at the same time, and you have to
yes.
do it within
and, well,
5
like,
minutes,
you can,
right?
You can post it like late, and it'll just say how late you were. Mm-hmm. But it's supposed to be the anti, like, perfect salad, like right before you eat. It's like you're halfway through your meal. Mm-hmm. It's kind of messy. Everyone's photos are kind of like from underneath their chin.
Do you know what the real anti social media is? Fucking putting your phone away.
No,
don't do meta social media.
That's actually pretty cool. So
just
there's it's an app where you, like you get an alert and you put your phone away and then you can check how fast you put it away and you post your time.
And you post that time.
Yeah. You post the time of how long you put your phone away.
And then you
away.
Can go on for hours at a time and just scroll through
other people's
time.
Exactly.
And then you can give comment, a good could, time.
Oh, you can give like claps for good job. That's a good time.
I love that.
Okay, well, I'm going to anti-plurg fucking be real.
I'm going to beat your fucking plur ass.
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
I'd love to plug our store, which is shop.nadpod.com, because we actually have a new shirt in there. It is a D&D court shirt.
Oh,
yes, we might have some more D&D court merch there, too, if things go correctly. But we got a shirt with the D&D seal on it, the court seal. It's really classy.
So you Chelsea can be your own Supreme Crit Justice?
Yeah.
And if you wear it to a D&D game, actually all your rulings are law.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, that's
that
absolutely
is true.
True.
That's actually correct. And
you hear that, Flaming Hot Cheeto?
Yeah. I do want to say it was designed by Chelsea Lecomte, and it does come pre-seasoned with Irk's Birdie Spray.
Wow.
I'm going to go ahead and plug the Honeymooners, the Flintstones.
Oh, my God.
Flintstone Kids.
Yeah, I'll plug Flintstone Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's also plug the Flintstone show where Pebbles and Bam Bam were grown up, and Barney was a cop for some reason. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know if I remember this. I vaguely remember this.
Yeah, he was a cop.
Deep, deep Flintstone spinoffs.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah.
Great the stuff. Life that that show has.
Great stuff, everybody.
Can I plug again? I actually have a real plug. I remember now. Okay, so my plug is I have a Discord channel called the Beardsley Flower Bed, and it's really cute.
Oh,
so if you want to join that Discord
subscribe
channel,
to that shit.
It's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I subscribe?
Yeah, please get in there.
All right.
You have really great mods, and they're all called gardeners.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
that's great.
Y'all talk about anime on there?
Oh, so much.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have something to plug. Emily and I are in a little video game.
Whoa.
Yes, it's just a little sneak peek. If you make it to the ending, there might be some familiar voices in there.
Yes. Oh. We are in the game The Quarry. We're podcast hosts that you might only hear us in the ending. You might hear us throughout it. I'm not 100% sure. We haven't gotten a chance to really dive into it yet. But yes, check out The Quarry from Supermassive Games. It was a pleasure working with those guys. They were super,
so
super cool.
Fun.
It was really fun to do it.
Everything we read was so cool. It was. It's. I guarantee a cool game.
Yeah. So check it out. It's a cool horror game.
Just
and
came out.
You just might hear me and Emily's voices.
Play to the end. Only true gamers will hear Murph and Emily.
That's. That might be true. That might be true. sweet guys. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use. At CH Murph is me. At Caldwell is Caldwell. At Ashford's Emily. At Jake Hurwitz is Jake. Beardsley is.
Allie Beardsley.
Allie Beardsley at the weird app that you plugged.
Yeah, what's your handle on Be Real?
On Be Real, I think it's Allie Beardsley, but I'm not totally sure.
Just Google Allie Beardsley.
Yeah.
And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are. The youth of the nation. We are. The youth of the nation.
You didn't know about that.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means. It's time to shout out our benevolent council of elders. I'm talking about Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, Later Mixgator, Matt M, Jordan DJ, Cutter W, Daniel G, Dylan B., who is missing his own game to see NADPOD live in LA. I hope you enjoyed it. Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D., Danny P., Michael McD., Vincent W., Mr. Cole, Victor T., Balnor's Boy Forever, Dominic P., Andrew B., Justin I., Ragnar Fairwind, TJM, Treylay the Crayfay, Jared E., Christopher B., Damiel R., Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Brian Woodland, Vice President of Business Development of Shore Incorporated, Richard X. Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Thaddeus, Thunderous, Turtle, Samuel B., Mike H., Martin P., Matthew E., Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G., Tyler F., Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu, Michelle O., Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R., Crackaholic, Lucas B., Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Come, hashtag love to all my supporters, New York, Cass Skateboard Cass, Steven C., Michael M., Mike K., Lady Taco, Joy T., Nara, Whit and Whimsy, Jack L., Nick Wolf, Brave the Badger, Esme M., Mutton the Mad Druid, a has-been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorphed sheep for 3 weeks, Foster, the original boneless duck, Aaron, the asshole ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD., Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Percival Frederick Stein von Musel Klausowski de Rollo III, Christian A., Olivia K., J. Dragonborn, Joro the Inapropro, Cody B., Liam D., The Sandrayan, Ben A., Feldonis, John the Third, Dave H., Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Rebecca G., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookfire's assistant Izzy F., Mark U., Blair the Bug Blair Barbarian, Cat C., Kelsey J., Porkchop, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., Velaciraptor, Minette the Magnificent Magikarp, Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., Joshua D., Ryan S., The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robin Crisp, Telekitty Creations Fan Illustrator, Ploops, Carly Ann, Addie K., AP Cleric, Lori P., Those Who Love and Give Where They Can, Spam Gaming, The Tatted Gamer Boy, good for you, Grant L., Connor Savage, Christopher J. Pebblepot. What happens when you stand on a D4? Your foot takes 1d4 damage. Salil, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Remington CD, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H., Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T., Jack H. Hi, my name is Brian Murphy. I wish I could tell you I'm a golden finch, but I'm really just a dirty city pigeon. Averix, Fendere, Cador, Finnegan Whisper. That one was new. Garble the Moist. Juicy Kiwi, Saul's future life partner. Champ Wild, Valen. Beep, Barbarian Bastard Baby of Brian and Brennan. Carlin C., Louie is your centaur dad. Emily S., Harry Cox. Allie, congrats on finishing your master's degree. Love you. Justin L., Tori Lee Skirmisher, Pendergreen's Pungent Pudding, hashtag CCC, hashtag Slangin' Rope, Dandy, Ian D. Thousands of bunnies are let go into the wild to fend for themselves with no knowledge of this world. Claudius was one of them. Marcus P. Pup Kalish learns the balanced druid. Dakota J. P. Frida M. Pagos, self-proclaimed fey prince. Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzet, Andy E., Holly Hyena, Anthony A., Kristen Z., Leah C., Paige H., Helen of Briz, Beatrix's Beautiful Baby Batter, Pixel Stars, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal. Also, congrats on the job, Ellie. Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, Zero Parody, the not-so-bad DM, Neos, the novice monster hunter, some jerk named Simon, I dreamt he shouted at me that I should remember and free him as if I knew who he was, Lorelei F, Morgan M, a peeling sticker, Stephen E, Mr. Adams, Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F, Jimmy A, hi, man, yeah, that's me, Cap'n Cappy, M4L, the Dragon Ambassador, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Stormbjorn, difficult times, my condolences, Andrew B, Cope Fresh, Barpo Good Barrel Barbarian and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Whale Schlander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, Sean J, Mr. Sillyhead, Monster Captain Renee S, Olivia, the enchanting bard who will totally be making money off of the Duck Team's tales with an on-the-go all-stop show, Blue Slade, the artificer, Michaela R, Albin's Alabaster Aftermath, hashtag come Muppets will rise, Solemn Sticky Sauce, hashtag CCC double down, Calliope's Gumulo Cum Blast, hashtag CCC forever, Riley S, Sirsig 93, Fico, Balls Boy Vadelgrom, no one is cooler than Angry Wee, especially not the front half of a horse costume, the game itself, Chaos Kampf, aka I Am a Smathire, Schecht AR, Tony G, Logan D, Anthony Dale Murphy Jr. would like to declare his full support for hashtag CCC and its derivatives, Josh H, Jack, the Jack's Jinxing Rogue in search of Bohemia's biggest balls, Sammy, the Nico, Mango Empanadas, Cora Bright, and Temidar. That's it. Thank you all so much. We love you so much and all the strange things you write into these shoutouts. We love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Goodbye, my sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.